Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
Look at verse 18. And we were being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. And the next day they lightened the ship. They threw the cargo overboard. Now all of a sudden it's not just a windy storm to blow us off course. He said now we're at such perils that the cargo don't matter no more. He goes on and says, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now they're saying we don't care which direction we go, just get us out of here. That they're throwing off heavy ropes and heavy tackling. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They had not seen the sun. They had not seen the stars for many days. Dark. Just, you can imagine a boat going up and down, tossed. They're in panic mode. At first they said, well, we're trying to use some nautical understanding of how the currents and tides and winds go. And if we'll just go down below this other island, we might could be a shelter from this storm. They got blown off course there. There was quicksands to deal with. And they got back out into it. And they said, well, option number two, we'll just throw off some of the weight so we can stay more buoyant. So they get rid of the cargo. Still, it's just tempestuous winds. The third day, they said, man, we can't survive this thing. Let's get rid of the tackling. They throw a lot more weight. They're running out of options. There's nothing else left mentally, physically, that man can do to save himself in this situation. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. The Bible says in verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Verse 23 says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Something that never did get out of the mind of Paul. He said, I know I'm God's. I know I still serve God. And what's interesting is in the middle of this storm, in the middle of this shaking, and there is no hope. It's all despair. They're simply waiting for the right wave to come to flip the boat. That there's nothing else left to possibly do. In the midst of that dark gloom stood a man of God with some glimmer in his eyes and said, sirs, be of good cheer. He goes on and says, he says, fear not. There was something in his mind that he knew. He said, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it is told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And so the man of God seemingly is unaffected. At first, it says all hope was taken away. And in the middle of despair, in the middle of just absolute darkness on board this ship that's busting up, they're out of options.
Yes.
Somewhere the man of God says, if I can just slip away,
y'all
don't bother me. I've got to get alone. I've got to get by myself. And he got to a place after long abstinence. He was away from all the other clamor, all the other clatter, all the noise. That, I mean, could you imagine what they were saying about, oh man, we're going under. Hearing this thing affects men of God. He had to cut off that channel. He had to cut off that.
Right,
and
amen.
Steal away in his own little place and get with God.
Right.
And in that place of prayer, God brought up from the depths to the surface a memory, a word that God had showed him. God had made real to him and said, I'm going to get you to Rome. Don't you worry about how we get there.
Right.
Just trust me, we're going to get there. And from that, I could just see him. God had just revived, had just renewed that word, just as fresh as it was the day God first spoke it to him. And he got down yonder, and he come out, and folks of all, they've got the panic look on their face.
Right.
But the man of God stands up. He's not affected by the storm. He's not affected by the wind or the waves. And he says, be of good cheer. I believe God. I believe that God has spoke to me this night. The things God told me, He will bring in the past. The things God made real to me in my prayer place, it will come to pass. And he said, fear not. I've heard from God.
Amen.
Woo! Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
That's a good thing when God speaks to us.
That's right. Amen.
Makes things real to us. And we think, man, the way things are going on now, it'll never happen the way God said it will. Can I just remind you, dear heart, dear friend, God is still in control.
Right.
COVID's not calling the shots.
That's right.
God's calling the shots.
That's right.
And whatever God's told you, whatever God's revealed to you in your place of prayer, dear heart, it will come to pass. It's an amazing thing. One word spoken to one man affected everybody on the boat.
That's right.
God didn't speak to the soldiers. The Lord didn't speak to the other prisoners, but He spoke to Paul.
Yeah, that's right.
That's an amazing thing right there. Spoke to him and said, because you're on this thing, because I got to get you somewhere, he said, I'm going to take care of everybody. That helps him right there. Sometimes we look at our families, and we say, man, what a storm we're in. Mess, and things are happening. Things are going different ways. And I just can't figure it out. And just mentally trying to get a hold to it. Just pull away. Get to your place with God and say, Lord, you told me some things. Let Him be that one to refresh it again to you. You'll come out just like Paul did, smiling and saying, hey, I believe God. Don't matter what's going on. Hey, God's still in the business of bringing the prodigal home. He's able to do it. He's well able to. He goes on and says this. He says, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Watch now. They had no idea what the name of the island was. You know why? The Bible tells us over here in the next chapter in verse number 1. He says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Prior to that, they just said, man, this is the island that God wants us to be at. In other words, they're going where they don't know where they're going. But God knows where they're going.
Amen.
And Paul had said, man, there was other ways. It's easier to get to Rome. If we just wait out, man, we'd go a different way. We can get there quicker. Faster. Set back on this cruise, you know, we can get there. God said, we're going to go by this way. And so they land on this island. The Bible says they see this island. They make way. They run the ship aground and begins to break apart by the waves beating on it. And then they grab a hold of boards and some swim, some float on broken pieces of the ship, but they make it all safe to shore. And when they get there, they meet a barbarous people. These barbarians come around and they begin to show them some kindness, befriend them. Paul begins to build a fire, put some wood on the fire, and he's gathering more wood. They're all cold, I imagine. And because of that, the viper comes out and bites his hand. Paul just shakes it off in the flames and carries on. Well, to this barbarous people group, they see that and they're made to think, well, Paul is some kind of a god. He's a spirit. It's amazing how God can put His man somewhere, exactly where God wants him to be at, the right time, at the right place. Bring us a man that's sick. Paul's prayed for him and he heals. He's healed. Later they start bringing all the sick folk. they all want to be healed. God does a great work on the island of Melita there. And a barbarous people group is saved because of it. So when Paul gets himself to Rome, he made mention, now this is important, he made mention during the work at Ephesus. Acts chapter 18, when Paul walked into Ephesus and he begins to preach the gospel, there is such a moving of the Holy Spirit of God that the people begin to repent openly, publicly. They begin to burn their books of witchcraft and sorcery, up to the sum of 50,000 pieces of silver. They're getting rid of all the roots from their past life. They've been changed. Ephesus is the place where God is moving. At the sight of this extreme, powerful move of God, the man of God says this statement, "I must also see Rome." And in his mind, he said, if God's going to work like this in Ephesus, I've seen Him do it in Thyatira. I've seen Him do it in Thessalonica, in Corinth. Man, he said, I've got to see Rome. I must see God do the same thing there. I mean, imperial city. I mean, it was the most famous city in the land of the day. Colosseum was there. All of the famous architects and all the fancy buildings and the power that was in Rome. And Paul said, man, I want to see it shaking the core of the gospel.
I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time that you've heard me pray. I just want to thank you, Lord, for always being there.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast today. I hope and pray it's been a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 2237, Blairsville, Georgia, 30512. Thank you. May God bless you.